With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
This is the anatomy of who you are. It's Spiritology 101. Ology just means the study of, okay? And you have a body. Some of us have old bodies. I mean, some of you have old bodies. And some of us have... Amen? Come on now. Some of us have yellow bodies. Some of us have brown bodies. Some of us have beige bodies. Some of us have olive skin type bodies. Some of us have... That's your body. That is part of who you are, but it's not the essence of who you are. The center of who you are is your spirit. Because whether you're in the body or out of the body, guess what goes with it? Your spirit. Your spirit. Because you are a spirit. Spiritology 101. And then you think, that means you have a mind. Okay? When you're conflicted, your spirit and your mind are not in agreement. Where's that? Where does that conflict? Where's that place where they touch? It's in your heart. Have you ever had your body in conflict with your spirit? Yes. But where's that battle? It's in your mind. But when your mind is in... I'm helping somebody. When your mind is in... When it's in conflict with your spirit, the battle's in your heart. So yes, there is a battlefield of the mind. But that's when the conflict is between your mind and your flesh. The law in my mind says I want to please God. Do you know what scripture I'm talking about? But my flesh is saying something different. Well, drive that old sinful nature out of your flesh. How do I do that? Well, you gotta tend to the Word and tend to the Spirit. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8, lives in you, He will then give the God quality and kind of life to your mortal flesh, to your fleshy parts. Because your flesh is dead because of the sin that's in this nature. Hold on, my flesh ain't dead. It's very much alive. Well, hold on. Yes, it is dead or dying because of the curse that is trying to press its way in. But let's cause life and the life that raised Jesus from the dead to press its way out. So my suit becomes a pressure suit. Come on. Pushing life not only through my flesh, but to those around me. Yes, sir. I bet my neighbors think I'm about half crazy. Because I've spent 10, maybe 12 hours this week cutting away weeds on the edge of the grass. And then I'm blowing that stuff, not just over the curb, but I'm pressing it out to the middle of the street to where the next rain will take it and put it down the gutter. So what I did was, if you were here at the around the property yesterday, you could see about a 12-foot line of where there was dirt and grass all the way the outline of the property. Well, what's that a picture of? That's a picture of the way your spirit is supposed to be pushing the curse out away from you. And it takes effort, because guess what? There's more twirly birds that fell last night. There's more little twigs that fell last night. There was some wind and some dirt got put back on, and grass got put back on the sidewalk. And I had to tend to it, and I'll have to tend to it today or maybe tomorrow. Because it's not just because I did the thing doesn't mean that it's established. I am establishing a thing. That's why faith comes by hearing, not having heard. You don't get the logos to renew your mind by reading the Bible once. Come on. God wants you to do something in this world. He didn't want you to just take authority over that little 2-foot by 2-foot place you're sitting on. He wants you to take authority over your household, over your neighborhood, over your city, and over your state. Can you say amen? I was telling Pastor Niji, you know, we had, oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for all the help that we have. And they were actually moving dirt, you know, where we're going to put sod over here. Praise the Lord. Man, there have been people coming. They think it's a park. That's wonderful. We're praying for people to come, and they're coming. Amen. One gal says, oh, we just thought we'd stop and run through the flags, and then we saw the park. Well, praise the Lord. Come on. I'm gonna put all kinds of bait out there. I just don't want catfish. I want bluegill. I'm going to put all kinds of bait out there, whatever it takes. This is what's going to hook them. It's going to be the Word of God. So I was thanking God for, you know, Pastor Josh was doing something. A couple guys from Spanish church were mowing, you know, and I was, okay, we've got to do this, got to do this. We're doing that. And I walked inside, and I just heard it just as clear as can be. The reason most people don't have mansions is because they can't take authority over their apartment. And you can't take authority over your apartment if you can't take authority over your own flesh. If the Spirit of God within you can't contain, curb, and motivate, change, and move your flesh, forget about trying to make your bedroom look nice. Bring life into that shabby place that you used to, that maybe somebody lives in. Come on. Can't take authority over this city if you can't take authority over your household, and that includes the people that are living in your household. I love you. That's why I'm telling you this and smiling. Okay, this is Spiritology 101. Have you ever heard that your foot bone connected to your ankle bone connected to the shin bone connected to the what? Knee bone. No, it's really not knee bone, but knee bone connected to your leg bone. Let me say thigh. Leg bone connected to your hip bone. Come on, you ever heard that? Hello, have you heard that? Now, God's spirit is connected to your spirit. Your spirit is connected to your heart. Your heart is connected to your mind. Your mind is connected to your brain. Your brain is connected to your body. And your body is connected to creation. Let me say that again, because those of us who are a little low on coffee may need to hear it again. Can you say amen? We're forgetful hearers. Let's get it to register in our head and deposit it inside of our spirit. God's spirit is connected to your spirit. Literally, when you were born again, your old wineskin became a new wineskin, and then God poured the new wine, His Holy Spirit, within you. So you're not distant from God, but you don't contain all of what God is. His spirit lives within you. And it's not about how much you can drink. It's about how much can flow through you. You guys okay if we just preach instead of teach this morning? All right. The Bible, Jesus said that rivers of living water will flow out of you. Rivers of living water. So it's not about how, now you're not a, you got this river and you build a dam, and what do you got? You don't have a river anymore. You have a lake. And if you don't let any more come in, that lake is going to become a lagoon. And that lagoon, if you don't let any of it flush out of you and you don't have anything coming in, it's going to become stagnant, and it'll become like the Dead Sea. Stagnant water. You're not to be a damn Christian. You're to be a river Christian. There's a difference in the way it's spelled. D-A-M. How dare you think I said D-A-M-N. Where's your mind? Praise the Lord. You're not to stop the flow. Rivers of living water are supposed to come out of you. Now listen, in that analogy that Jesus said that you are to have rivers of living water, this He spoke of the Holy Spirit, which had not been given up until that time. Now imagine the apostles, the disciples did these wondrous works without a river of living water. They did it simply by faith, because they were given authority in the name. You've not only got the name, you got the power. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the river of living water that flows into, let me tell you, the Dead Sea. And it says everywhere that living water flowed, that it teemed with life. Now, that may seem a little foreign to you and me, but listen, there is this flow of water going into a sea of salt water. Just like the mighty Mississippi that flows on the east coast of our state goes all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And did you know that the saltwater fish cannot live in fresh water? But everywhere that fresh water, and in the fresh water are all the fresh water creatures, come on. Everywhere that goes, see what happens is the fresh water creatures can't go into the water that is dead, the water that is salty, the saltwater creatures out there. But on the edge of it, all the predators come because it's teeming with life and it's food. Everywhere the river of life flows out of you, it should teem with life. There should be spiritual activity. There should be this barrier around you that you know you get too far out away from you, you can see the curse. But you get in, you start coming toward you. Somebody starts coming toward you. That river of living water that's flowing not just out of your belly, but out of the heart of God through Jesus Christ is teeming with life. The blessing, not the curse. That's why we should age different. That's why we should carry ourselves different. That's why we should think different. That's why we should be different. Christian simply means to be like Christ. And they said, he don't teach like anybody else I know. He teaches as one who has authority. I've got the authority because Jesus' name has been given to me. I know the authority because I'm in the Word of God. I experience the authority because I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost and I draw it out of my spirit. Come on. And I know I've got the power because it quickens my mortal flesh. I love Jesus, don't you? God's spirit is connected to your spirit. Whenever you write down anything regarding God, I think it's good to capitalize it. Don't treat it as normal. So when I write down God's spirit, I put capital G-O-D, capital S-P-I-D. When I talk about the human spirit or my spirit, I put down a small H and a small S. Why? Because I'm honoring the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, when I write the Word of God, I capitalize T and I do the W. The anointing, I capitalize the A. Well, that's not the way English is. That's not the rules. Well, you can take your rules and you can dishonor God if you want to. This is the way I do it. But I do that for a reason, because then when I'm reading this, I know the big S inside of my small S. God's spirit is housed within me. That's why it says in the book of God, and in the Word of God, that we're to enlarge our tent so you could get blessed. You can't grow any more than your spirit has grown. You can't house any more of God than you allow to flow. Here's how it grows. You let it flow through you. Don't be trying to start an excursion with a V10 engine on a 9-volt battery. Don't be trying to heal somebody of cancer when your spirit hadn't grown to that point. You don't even have enough to start your body, let alone jumpstart theirs. Is it all fitting together for you, or am I just discombobulated this morning? I don't even know if that's a real word, but I like it. Listen, this is what God taught me when I had I got born again. I had a place down in southern Iowa, 40 acres and a pond, but I also had an apartment up here, and I was right off of Park in my apartment, and I was in my bedroom, and I was praying, as was my habit, because that's the way my master did it. I was praying on a daily, and I was praying, and I was saying, God, teach me, give me wisdom, teach me, and I could almost hear him say, shut up and let me teach you. And so I got quiet, and he said, when you see it in your spirit. See, you have eyes. In Ephesians chapter 1 says that Lord calls the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. He's not talking about your natural eyes. He's talking about your spiritual eyes. When you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it. I have no conflict in my heart. When you speak it out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. Creative, meaning molecular structures will change and be altered. And where there is not, there will be. My faith, I'm just high in the Holy Ghost. My faith calls those things that are not as though they should be. Checkbook, be full. Church, be full to overflowing. Come on. Roof, be established and done. You'll never go beyond what you pray. You'll never go beyond what you say. And you'll never say and pray with any consistency beyond what's in your heart. And what's in your heart has to come out of your spirit, and your mind must agree with it. Well, my mind doesn't like to agree. Then whip it and tell it to get in line. With what? Not with just mental power. We take every thought captive according to what does the Bible say? According to Christ. According to the anointing. In the measure with the Spirit within you. And you take that sucker captive and you say, I'm not going to think on those vain imagine. I'm not going to think some way that's foreign to the Word of God. But everybody else does, and you're going to get what everybody else has. I'm just crazy enough to believe God's Word. And I've made myself crazy that way. I didn't come into Christ that way. My spirit was, but my head certainly didn't agree with the Word of God. And sometimes it still gets jarred around a little. Amen. When you clearly see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, when you speak it out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. Things that should not be will, let's talk King James, come to naught. Things that are not will be. Why? Because they, listen, everything that you see is spiritual first. Take your spirit out of your body, and what happens to your body? First it's going to fall down, then it's going to get cold, then it's going to stink, and then it's going to start falling apart. Listen, you take the human spirit, born again or not, out of a building, and what happens to a building? Look. You should have seen it when I first stepped foot in it. You take the human spirit out of a vehicle and you let it sit. Yes, there's tending to it, but there's also life. You park a car out in, about in the back 40 and you leave it sit for a year or two. And you come back and you can't see the car because the weeds have grown in it. And mice have gone up in the exhaust and made a nest. Come on. And for some, I don't know how it happened, but the windows get broken and the rust perpetuates it. It speeds up. But now you take that same car and you go out and start it once every month or so. You get your human spirit in it. You get your born-again spirit in it. This is something happens. It's more than natural. And am I helping you? If you take authority over your apartment, God's going to get you a house. You begin to let that love and that life of God, that nature of God, get out of you and begin to press farther than you. Are you hearing me? Then he'll get you a place. He'll get you a mansion. He'll give you a city. You done well with a little bit. Now here, you take charge of 5 cities, he said. You take charge of 10 cities. Listen, I don't want stuff. You don't either. Because stuff takes work. The heathen go after all the stuff. But if I seek first the kingdom of God, that stuff comes to me. And the Bible says when he has wealth, he does it without headache. In other words, I'm not going to have to be out there waxing that Harley every single weekend. There's nothing wrong with waxing your Harley. Huh? There's nothing wrong with vacuuming out your car. But you get too many cars and then you become all you do is you detail vehicles. Unless God gives it to you without headache. And he gives you the ability and the, come on, I'm talking about God's prosperity. And it's in you. And if you let it take you, come on, if you let it take you, praise the Lord, it's going to consume you and it'll press its way out of you to where it begins to affect things around you. Everything's spiritual first. Praise the Lord. We've been on the radio here maybe 5 years. And just last week, now we're in 15 different cities. Now, I don't have the key to Des Moines. But God made a way to give us 15 more cities. Praise the Lord. All right, I wrote this down for you. Renew the mind. Cultivate the revelation. Revelation rises out of your spirit into your heart. God's spirit's connected to your spirit. Your spirit's connected to your heart. Everybody say heart. Your heart is connected to your mind. Your mind is connected to your brain. Your brain is connected to or is part of your body. And your body is connected to creation. The job is to get it out of your spirit and through your mind. But it's going to come out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. So yes, you're supposed to renew your mind, but you've also got to draw out of your salvation with joy revelation. You've got to have the Logos renew your mind. Let the Rhema now, personal, intimate word, come up out of your spirit. Fill your heart with that, not like oil and water. Fill your heart with the oil of the Holy Ghost, and then let that greasy stuff come out of your mouth with ease. You can't speak spiritual truth without the oil of the Holy Ghost. You can't say Jesus is Lord unless He's your Lord. That's one of the tests it gives us in 1 John to find out if the Spirit is from God or not. But come on, you need to make Him the Lord of your heart so you can say it. Come on. You can't say Jesus came in the flesh if you're not born again. You can't say, yeah, Jesus was a man. He came in the body. God come in the flesh. You can't say that if you don't have the grace of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to drill down in my mind like I'm drilling for oil. I'm going to drill down in my mind with the Word of God. I'm going to get my mind to agree with the Word of God. I'm going to cause my mind to begin to think like God. How dare you? Hold on now. That's what He gave me His Word for. I don't have to ask you guys been together very long? 1 month, 2 months, 6 years? No? Just met? Listen, if you spend a lot of time with each other, you two, if you get to know each other, you won't have to ask Him what He's thinking. Josh doesn't have to ask Cherry very often like he did when he first. I know more times than not what my wife's thinking. Why? Because I know how she, so I start to think like her. People have been married for a long time. They can finish each other's sentences. They're kind of weird that way. They talk in half sentences. You know what I'm talking about? Because they can finish each other's sentences. They know what the person is going to say. See, you can be that way with God. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And if I lack the wisdom, He'll give it to me liberally. I'm speaking Scripture now without finding fault. He's not, abradeth not, means He's not going to pick you apart to see if you qualify for the wisdom. He's just going to give it to you. Now, listen very carefully. Knowledge is in your head. Wisdom is in your spirit. Understanding comes out of your heart. When you know how to take the wisdom of God, God's perspective, God's ways, and you know it, and you can combine them into something that goes into this earth. Wisdom knows that there's fish in the river and they're good to eat. Knowledge knows that you can catch them with a fishing pole. Understanding knows how it can do that, clean the fish, cook them, and then bring the fish to your mouth to bring nourishment. See, you see it in your spirit. Your job is not to see it in your mind. Your job is to renew your mind to line up with what's in your spirit. Well, how do I know if it's not? You get in the Word of God because it can discern between spirit and soul, and nothing else can do that. And if I see it in my spirit and my mind will agree with it when I speak it out of my mouth, now I'm releasing the power of God to cause a thing to come about, to create the thing. Create. God created Adam and Eve and He made them in His image, speaking spirits. Satan cannot create. He can only twist. Now, a lot of us have been good at twisting words. Emotions, situations. And if you're twisting, come on now, that's not your job. Your job is to be just like your Lord, to make it straight. Take the bumps out of the road and make it smooth. To make it as it was created to be. How do I know what that is? It's inside of your spirit. Let's talk about that flow of living water. This He spoke of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, if this is your first time here, usually we have 12 scriptures in one point. 24 scriptures and 2 points. But this is all scripture. All right? This He spoke of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, how can you tell? I'm going to tell on Nymal. And is she in here? Nymal, you in here? She must be across the street. Nymal and Mindy were working yesterday helping to smooth out that. We had a pile of dirt. I said, girls, if you can't move a pile of dirt, you're never going to be able to move a mountain with your faith. You know, about an hour into it, they both look like, you know, Grumpy Greta. Sorry about that. They look like Grumpy Greta. They just, nasty. And you know, I know that they're both single and they're believing God for a husband. Amen. That's okay to believe God for a husband. And the song kept... I said, girls, you got to put a smile on your face. You got to laugh a little bit. And this song rose up in my heart and said, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. I said, you got to smile, but I won't do that. See, you got to let your Christianity come to the outside. You got to put a smile. I said, girls, you got to put a smile on your face when you don't feel like it. Because the life of God is in you, but nobody can tell. The joy of the Lord is in you, but everybody thinks you're sucking on a lemon. Come on, man. If God brought you, I said this, if God brought the man that you've been praying for up right now, he's going to take one look at you and he's going to hightail it back to wherever. You're going to scare the behooty out of him. I'm holy, sanctified. And Christian just, you know, we do things we don't feel like doing. Now listen, how far is that Holy Ghost, the power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in you, how far is he to reach? If he can't reach beyond your smile, if he can't get out of your heart into your face, oh my goodness. Here's how far it was. People went when Jesus was walking and they pressed him in the King James. You know what I mean? They went into the crowd to touch him. Now, we've been in crowds overseas, you know, 50, 60,000 people. And you know, one of the hardest things to do after the miracles happen, after you prayed for people, the hardest thing is to get from the platform to the car. Am I right, Doug? I mean, there's times that you think you're going, because they want to touch you. You get into a real press. You know, that's the way they were Jesus. They want, there's something coming out of him. The woman with the issue of blood. If you got a, back then, if you had an issue, you needed to stay home. Thank God, because all of you got issues. Thank God it's not that way anymore. You come to church with the issue, you get rid of it. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. She had some spissues, and she got into that press, and she broke all of the... She acted like it. She acted like she didn't have an issue. And she went in, because if everybody knew she had an issue, she could have got killed. And so with the issue, she acted like she didn't, and she got right in amongst the religious people, and she was after that healing power of God, virtue that was coming out of Jesus, and she touched him. You know, when they dropped from the roof, they said the power of God was there to heal. Bible says everyone that touched him, everyone that he touched, got healed. Come on. He laid his hands on him and he healed him. So something's coming out of him. What was it? It was God in him coming out of flesh. And God's inside of you. And so the Bible says that the woman with the issue of blood reached up and touched the hem of his garment, because she kept saying, if I just touch him, I know that I'll be healed. And here's the deal. She felt within herself that the fountain had dried up and she was healed. So she felt it. And she wasn't the only one that felt it. Jesus stopped and said, hey, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, come on, there's a press. Everybody's reaching out and touching you. What do you mean somebody touched you? No, no, somebody touched me. They did it with faith. Somebody touched me because virtue went out of me. Power, dunamis, is what the word is in the Greek. The same word we get dynamite. Power came out of me. Who was it? She goes, it was me. And then she told the whole story. Now listen, just because her issue got taken care of didn't mean nobody else's could. Because immediately after that, he went and he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. With a word. And how much of this, how far is this power supposed to... Well, it's got to get through your flesh. Come on. The Apostle Paul had that power rolling out of him. So when he was anointed, when he was preaching and teaching, the Bible says in Acts chapter 19, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from him. And when they laid them on the sick, demons came out and they were made well. It was coming out of him, and it could be stored up in cloth now. That's Bible. That's not hocus pocus stuff. That's the Word of God. That's why we lay hands on cloths when somebody asks us to. We laid hands on a handkerchief for Pastor Nege's dad. He had cancer in his larynx, and we sent it down to him in Florida. You know what? He was Catholic enough to believe it. And he got healed. Praise the Lord. We didn't go down there. We didn't. We just prayed over that cloth, sent it down, and told you, keep this on you. Put a safety pin on your pillow at night. Keep it on you. And he got healed. Remember what I was saying, the power of God should come out of you if the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he will quicken your mortal flesh. He'll give the life of God to your mortal flesh. You don't have to age the way everybody else in the world is aging. Come on. You don't have to have the press of this world. We are pressed in upon, right? But we're not crushed. Because we got something on the inside pressing back. Revelation is rising. Power is rising. We're renewing our mind and feeding our spirit with the Word of God. Now we've got our heart full and it's pressing out. If your heart ain't full, it ain't going to press. That didn't sound like good English. If your heart is not full, then there will be nothing that comes out of your heart. But things of cursing, not blessing. Now don't try and change your heart by just changing your confession. That'll lead to frustration. When you confess the Word of God, you're not praying in faith, you're muttering, you're renewing your mind. According to Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you're to talk about and mutter and think about the Word of God, what are you doing? You're causing your mind to get in line with it. You're provoking the truth and the reality out of your spirit. It's not faith until it fills your heart, but it is in the process of building faith. When you know that you know, how do you know that you know that you know? That your mind agrees with the Spirit and your spirit agrees with the Word. And when you know that you, it's simple. When you know that you know that you know, and you get that Rhema now word, and you speak it out of your mouth, wow, you enter into salvation and your sins are forgiven. And the cancer dies. And your provision manifests. And the protection of the Lord is obvious. Not just to you, but to everybody else. Because that life of God is pressing out of you. Come on. Peter was so full of faith in the Holy Ghost that people had to get, if they got within the distance of his shadow, the Bible says they got healed. They would lay the crippled and maimed along his path. He obviously went to the same place every day. And if they got within the distance of his shadow, that stuff was, what was it? The life and the nature of God was pressing out of him, changing him. Did he still get old? Yeah, but it was pressing out of him. Man, I think one of the best examples is you find that little old lady in the church has been praying in her closet, praying in the church Monday through Friday in the morning. You find that little old lady, Aretha Hagen was that way. I remember the first time I sat by Aretha Hagen, I looked at her, and she was like 90 years old. She looked old, but her eyes looked like a 30-year-old. I mean, she had life in her eyes. It wasn't dull, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't just moisture. The closest thing I could tell you was the first date Pastor Nijan and I went to. We went to this little place called Tucci's. It was an Italian restaurant. And that was more, you know, coffee. Starbucks was huge and such. And we went, and she had a chocolate mocha latte. I mean, she was like there, and she was having fun. And we ate a little bit of pizza. But when she had that first sip of that chocolate mocha latte, her eyes got starry and they gleamed, and I said, whoa. She went from being kind of, you know, when somebody's tired, like Akila and Mindy were yesterday, and then that light, the Bible talks about it, when Jonathan didn't know, his dad said nobody should eat, they're going to fast the whole day, and he went and he got some honey from a tree, and the Bible says when he put it in his mouth, his eyes lit up. And life came back to his eyes. That's the way Aretha Hagen was in her 80s or 90s. She had that life, you know, like a newborn baby. It should be enough that it changes more than just a 2-foot circumference around you. You know, we have a biblical example of it changing up to the distance of a shadow. Because of your great faith? No, because of God working in and through you. God's spirit is connected to your spirit. I didn't even know I had one till today. Yes, you do. You are a spirit. Your spirit is connected to your heart is connected to your mind. Your mind is connected to your brain. Your brain is connected to your, and your body is connected to creation. If you can get what's in your spirit, if you're born of God, out of you. Guys, what do you think witchcraft is? What do you think Wicca is? It is taking what is inside of them that ain't good and is getting it out of their mouth to change creation, to change the things around them. We'll let that settle in a minute. Because if you're going to believe, and you need to believe that this thing is real, you got to understand Satan has counterfeit. Yeah. Satan has a counterfeit. And you speak those things out of your mouth. If you let some spirit get in you, that's what they call channeling. You can go right down at the bottom of this hill and you can learn how to channel. You can learn how to let spirits come through you. You can learn how to prophesy through a spirit that is not of God. You can learn how to cooperate with Mother Nature. Come on, listen. I'm not saying all those things are factual. I'm telling you what the doctrine is. You go right down at the bottom of the hill and learn how to channel spirits in you so they can speak out of your mouth. And what they need is they need your flesh to have dominion in this creation. Out of the tongue comes curses and blessing. The issues of your life are ordained by your tongue. The Bible says in James chapter 3, your tongue is the rudder of your life. So what are you letting come out of your mouth? Now, I don't think anybody in here is foolish enough to let some spirit, demon spirit, or spirit that's not from God, speak out of them. But if your mind is in agreement with the Spirit, and you haven't spent intimate time with the Lord, learning, what's His will for you? What does He want for you? What does He want good things for you? And if you let that rise up inside of you, and your mind will agree with it, now you've got no conflict in your heart. His Spirit is testifying with your spirit in the place of your heart that you're right. And then what happens is you don't have to work a confession out of your mouth. You don't have to read it off a 3x5 card. It's the abundance of your heart, and it's going to grease it with grease, the oil of the Holy Ghost. It's going to come out of your mouth and it's going to change things. And y'all, kick the religious cow aside. That's why we pray. We pray because we believe that when we speak something to our Father, He will cause it to manifest. God said, my word will not return to me, help me out, void, but it will accomplish the thing that I sent it forth to do. If you read it off a 3x5 card, you're not delivering it out of your heart. You're causing your head to get in agreement. Well, yeah, but I'm trying. Yes, exactly. So understand, that's not the prayer of faith yet. Say amen. God's Spirit's connected to your spirit. Your spirit connected to your heart. Your heart connected to your mind. Your mind connected to your brain, physical organ. Your brain connected to your body. And your body connected to creation. Now, seems to me that if you take this in thought far enough, you're going to understand that God just wants to use your body. Uh-huh. Yes, He does. But He wants to use your body with your willingness, with your permission. Jesus is the head and you are the... If you didn't have Jesus in you, you wouldn't be a Christian. So when Jesus gets inside of your flesh, you have a Christian. Now, a Christian is an extension of His body. He is the vine, and you are the branch. He said, my disciples, they're going to produce some fruit. Fruit that lasts. Fruit that's eternal. How are you going to produce the fruit? You got to have the life and the nature of the vine flowing through you. Now, you do some helping. Let's say that your mind is the leaf. It's collecting, you know, stuff from the sun. It's processing carbon dioxide to feed inside of, because we got to get it in this natural world. Now, when a leaf on a plant does what it's supposed to, it creates oxygen, which life needs. When a Christian does what he's supposed to do, we produce the life and the nature or the atmosphere of God, which causes life to be in other people. I just feel so good when I come to that church. I feel so good when I go to that person's house. I feel peace when I get there. Come on, what is it about you that's different? It's not me, it's He who's in me. He's doing the work. Listen, my job is to not get out of the way. My job is to let Him use me. And sometimes when Christians begin to grow and they walk in these things, everybody say, I'm a Christian. When we start to grow and walk in these things, we want to dismiss our mind. We want to say, no, you know, it's just the spiritual thing. Hold on, no. Your mind is a necessary tool to be used by God so you can do this thing with integrity and confidence. Sometimes the anointing of God will come upon you in the power gifts. Oh, now we're in that. It's like training wheels on a bike you can't ride with a little motor. When the anointing and the power gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they're not on you, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to ride. He trained you. Now the grease that came upon you is the same grease that's in you. The oil that came upon you is the same oil that's in you. Your mind is to think in line with the Word. Your mind's not to fight the will of God. But God's not going to have you check out of your mind. He needs your mind. Because your mind is connected to your brain. Your brain's connected to your body. Your body's connected to all of creation. Angels and demons are created. They were all created angels. A third of them fell. And they'll hearken to the voice of His word that comes out of the mouth of a believer. How's it going to come out of your mouth with any conviction or persuasion? You can't have conflict in your heart. So they're in agreement. If you're in a Christian world or you're a politician and you say one thing but you do another, what are you? No cuss words, please. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. So if you say one thing and you do another, you're not going to nobody's going to have any confidence in your what? Words. Be a doer of your word. Well, yeah, but that means hold on, just renew your mind. Fill your heart with the word. Thoughts descend. Renew. Okay, you're filling up that container of your heart, that connecting place between your spirit and your mind. Come on, I'm renewing my mind. And you know what? I was studying this out not too awful long ago, and I was going into some science things so I could. Did you know that the way you think literally can change the molecules and the structure of your brain and the synaptic process in which you store memories? Literally, I'm telling you, science can show you that you transform your brain by thinking differently. And the Word of God has told us this all along. Science is just catching up. So as my brain is changed and my mind is renewed, I'm depositing, I'm muttering, I'm speaking, I'm thinking the word, I'm reading the word, coming in my ear gate, coming in my eye gate, I'm getting my mind in line with it. I know it's not the way everybody operates, but it's the way God does. And I want to be a son of God. I want to be led of Him. I want this Son of God to be revealed to the world and to bring glory to Jesus. Come on. Not me, bring glory to Jesus to prove that He is resurrected, that He's on the throne, that He's not dead, He's alive. He's alive in my heart. So I'm renewing my, I'm feeding it, it's getting down in here. But then there's another source. As I draw through worship, I draw in praise, I draw in prayer, I spend time thinking out of my spirit about the Lord. What am I doing? I'm filling my heart from, it's filling from the bottom side, and it's filling from the top side. Now it's full. And so I can be, if I'm a Christian that's supposed to be an apple tree, all I gotta be is be, and I produce apples. I'm just sure I'm an apple tree. Grapes. Oh, come on now. Now I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree. Oranges. All right, I'm an apple tree. I'm thinking like an apple. I don't know how, Okay, I'm an apple tree. I see the apples. I see the apples. Ooh, apples. I'm not sure if I'm an apple tree. I'm really not sure. I'm not sure. I got conflict in my heart. What? That's why we call it the fruit of the Spirit. Not the discipline of the Spirit. It takes effort to renew your mind. But once you've renewed your mind, now you've bridged the gap between where God wants you to be and where you were. You did that through discipline. Now you can live it and work on something else. I don't have to work through discipline to be a tither. It's not for Pastor Josh and I, and I, yes, you too. It's not a question. I don't want to say I've conquered it. The Word has conquered that for me. So I am. Well, thank God. Now I can work on offering. It's planting seed. I don't have to work on convincing myself I should not commit adultery. Come on. I don't have to work on giving the fact in my head that I shouldn't lust. Well, thank God. Then I can work on being kind to somebody. That's a good word, isn't it? And there's some things that you just be because you be. Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the anointing of God. That doesn't mean it didn't take effort. He had to go to the backside of the desert for 14 years to draw on the Holy Ghost to get the scrolls out and compare, to get his mind. He knew the Word before. He had, is that right? I'm like the Bereans. I'm going in the Word to see if it's true. Oh, it is. Okay, now I'm looking at the Word the way I'm supposed to. Hello. He got his head right. He had the revelation the minute Jesus said, I am the one you're kicking against here. He got the revelation. Then he had to articulate it, bring it into understanding so he could edify somebody else. All right, guys, I'm going to just share with you what we're going to talk about on Wednesday night, and I just want you to be prepared. So I want you to read this, please. Praise the Lord. We talked about the ear gate and the eye gate. We talked about the logos and the rhema. And so Wednesday night, we're going to continue on in this regarding the Word of God. I want you to read Romans chapter 10, Galatians chapter 3. This is for studying the Word of God, preparing us for Wednesday. 1 John chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And we're going to look about how we dig down into our spirit and how we're taught by the Spirit. But yet we have a job to instruct our mind and to begin to transform our mind, thinking in line with the Word of God. Why are we going through this? Because God wants you to rise up, have authority in your own life, and to begin to exercise authority. I'm not talking about I'm the boss. The authority to be an executor of God's will. In your life, in the life of those around you, that it begins to affect it to the place that they're coming to you for prayer, they're coming to you for answers, they're coming to you because they want to be more like Jesus. And you won't do that if your mind's not renewed, not with any consistency. It's better to change your heart than to try to watch your words. It's better to fill your heart. Because no man can tame the tongue, the Bible says. The Holy Ghost can. Because the tongue is a servant. The tongue will only say what is in your heart. Out of the abundance, quit trying to tame your tongue. It's not your job. Change your heart. If you change your heart, now you can be a perfect man and you're able to keep everything in check. Perfect not being never making a mistake. Perfect meaning complete, not lacking anything. If I cut off my finger, then my hand's not perfect. Now I can pick the finger up and carry it around. I'm still not perfect. I'm whole, but I'm not perfect. I'm perfect when it becomes something, an extension of my body I don't even have to think about. You know, if I did cut off my finger, which I'm never going to, and I get that thing sewed back on, which is never going to happen, then I would have to go through rehab. And I'd have to cut new nerve routes to teach my finger to... Wouldn't it be terrible if your finger just kind of went up? And you didn't try? And you know, you're pointing at somebody, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be terrible if you could not control your finger at your own will? If you really had to think, okay, finger, come up, come up, come up. Okay, a little more, a little more, a little more. I'm not perfect, as the Scripture says. But if it just, I'm just thinking about it, you know, point, you know, I'm not even, it's not even, Now it's perfect. It's complete. It's doing what's supposed. If you want to be a perfect man in Christ, then fill your heart with God's will. Renewing. I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself, because I am. Renew it with the word, bringing a deposit into your heart. Rise and draw that revelation up out of your spirit. And then your tongue will do what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to speak what's in your heart. Can we take one more stab at it? We'll take one more stab at it. Everybody, grab your seat like you're on one of those rides at Worlds of Fun, because you're about ready to go for it, okay? Grab your seat real hard, because you might have to squeeze down when I say this. Praise the Lord. Help me, Jesus. When I say this, help it not to cause a more offense than it's supposed to, because I know we're to cause some discomfort here to those who are comfortable. If you're speaking something, grab your seat now, other than what's in your heart, you're a hypocrite. Ouch! Or you're a sinner, which we all are, trying to change. Which is it? When you quit trying to change, you're a hypocrite. When you're going through the pain of change, come on, now you're being molded into the image of Christ. Ooh! I'll take that. I'll take that. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's a good word. That's a good word. But we're studying these seven steps. I'll give them to you, and Pastor Josh is going to come up and close. The first, to receive anything from God, is to know the will of God. And that's what we're honing in on right now. Number two is to fill your heart with His will. Then you prepare. Then you sow a seed. Come on. And then you begin to lead others in thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. We'll continue this Wednesday night, Pastor Josh.
Well, let's just take a moment. Let's all bow our heads this morning. Get into God's presence. We ministered along the lines of having God speak to our spirit. And He speaks to us as a child. And we want to take a moment. We don't want to take anything for granted this morning. Maybe you've never had that experience. Maybe you've never felt the Creator of heaven and earth speak directly to you. Well, maybe you need to be born again. I believe the Holy Ghost might be speaking to some folks this morning that I need that relationship with God. That relationship comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man. He came in the flesh, was the Son of God, and died on the cross for our sins. Hallelujah. The story doesn't end there. He rose from the dead 3 days later. And the good news is that He made a way for us to have relationship with God. And if you feel this morning, I need that relationship, I need to receive this free gift that Jesus made for me, so that I can have relationship with the Father God. Why don't you raise your hand this morning? Just let us know. Yeah, I want to do that for the first time this morning. Raise your hands. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. As a family, let's all put our hands on our hearts this morning. Pray this with me and believe it from your heart. Jesus, I desire to be born again, to be a new creation. I desire to know God. And the only way to God is through You, Lord. I receive You as my Savior. I renounce my sin and receive Your forgiveness. I thank You. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.